Okay, we'll go to our final discussion for this week. Definition of a business, I give the floor to Leonardo.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Agenda paper 13 provides an analysis of the FSB proposal on how to clarify the definition of a business. In the paper, we describe the FSB proposal and provide our views on each of them. The first proposal is to clarify that, to be considered a business, an acquired set of assets must include, at a minimum, an input and a substantive process that together contribute to the ability to create outputs. The FSB decided to provide additional guidance to help preparers in determining whether a substantive process exists. This guidance is explained in paragraph 8 to 12 of the paper. We think that this new guidance on substantive process would help IFRS preparer in the assessment of the relevance of processes acquired and would confirm the predominant practice under IFRS, which is only significant processes give rise to a business. Proposal 2 is to remove the requirement that a set of assets is a business if market participants can replace the missing elements and continue to produce outputs. We support Proposal 2 because it would help preparers to focus their analysis on what has been acquired rather than on how a market participant could potentially integrate the acquired assets. Proposal 3 is a threshold to evaluate when a set of assets is not a business. Indeed, the fact is that if substantially all of the fair value of the assets acquired is concentrated in a single asset or a group or similar assets, then the asset acquired are not a business. We support this proposal because we think that it is a useful practical experience. Proposal 4 is to narrow the definition of outputs to focus on goods and services provided to customers. Indeed, the FASB decided that the definition of output should not include returns in the form of dividends, lower costs, or other economic benefits. We support Proposal 4 because we think that the current definition of output is too broad and that many asset acquisitions may lower costs or provide other economic benefits. Proposal 5 is to add examples to help with the interpretation of what is a business and to illustrate the guidance proposed by the FSB. We think that the example would help IFRS applying the proposed amendments and that they are a good way to ensure that ISP members agree with the outcomes of the proposed guidance. Proposal 6 is that an entity would be required to apply the proposed amendments prospectively. We support Proposal 6 because we think that the retrospective application of these amendments would be costly and impracticable in most situations. Finally, in the table after paragraph 58 of the paper, we demonstrate that these 6 proposals respond to all the main challenges that participants to the review of FRS 3 have identified in applying the definition of a business. On the basis of this analysis, we recommend that the ISB should propose changes to FRS 3 that are the same as the amendments proposed by the FSB. We also recommend that the ISB should issue an exposure draft rather than a discussion paper, because the aim of this project is to improve the existing definition of a business and related application guidance. We ask the ISB member whether they agree with the conditions.
Thank you. It's a very good analysis, and I think it's very useful, and I would support probably direction of travel and most of the proposal. I need one clarification on the proposal one. The notion of input here. I'm not quite sure what we refer to. I would take one simple example of an entity which is composed of a fleet of cars, limousines, a workforce, drivers, well-trained, well-groomed drivers, an internet website for managing the reservations, the bookings, a payroll system, billing system, and there is an output providing transportation services, limo services. I can see a number of assets. I can see a process. What are the inputs here beyond the existing assets and processes? I think we seem to be making a difference between inputs and processes. And I could not identify in that fact pattern, which would probably lead me to conclude that if I buy this activity, it's a business, although the fleet of cars might represent a significant value. But anyway, but what are the inputs here?
Isn't it petrol?
Yeah, okay, maybe, but it's not very specific. I can buy petrol from about any supplier, any tank station. And, is the workforce, the labor, the input here, but we have the assembled workforce. Can you help me understand how we would apply the notion of inputs beyond the assembly of assets, workforce and processes?
So I'm not quite clear on your question.
Okay, we seem to be defining a business as something which assembles assets, an acquired input, and processes. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking in my very simple example, where are the inputs which are necessary to make it a business?
Okay. Now, actually, what you just described, I think, would sound, if you were to acquire all those, would also have outputs as well.
I have outputs for sure. I have revenues from transporting people. I have assets to produce it. I have a process to make the assets work. I have other element, which is a workforce. Is the workforce the inputs?
The workforce would be one of the inputs, yes. So the fleet of vehicles would be one of the inputs, and the workforce would be another.
You could say the assembled workforce is an asset in itself. Because you recognize maybe an asset for the assembled workforce. Or what? I think we need to have an example to illustrate this notion of which inputs are considered here.
I think that in your example, the inputs are the cars.
So inputs are the cars. So in a business, you have processes, you have assets, and you have inputs. See, the cars are my assets. They cannot be input at the same time. I mean,
why not? Input, any economic resource that creates, or the ability to create outputs, the cars.
Okay, then maybe we should make less difference between inputs and existing assets, maybe. Because it seems to create a distinction between inputs.
Assets.
Mm-hmm.
Assets are inputs, you mean?
Okay.
That's what fine. Philippe's getting at is you seem to talk about assets separately as though they're something
different. Yes, seems
that's
to be.
That's what he's trying to ask you.
Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah. Okay.
And I had kind of.
I exclude assets from that. What do you mean by inputs? But I think you mean the assets are the inputs.
And I had kind of the inverse problem when I got to the examples and the in-process research and development. And I understood it when I went through it, but it was funny because it talked about the in-process research and development as an item, an asset. And I would have thought that that was the label you attached to the process, but then I inferred that there were no employees, so it wasn't. You're moving a hive of actually doing the you're just when it uses the label in process research and development, it was referring to the intellectual property and the items that had been developed as a result of that rather than the research activity.
Yes.
So I think some of the labels aren't that helpful, and it's the blurring of when is something an input, an asset, a process.
So in the case of in-process R&D, the results of the research would be an input. If you were acquiring the scientists as well, then because of their know-how and their ability to transform what they've already got so far into something else, then that would be a process in that case.
Right. But you've also talked about assembled workforce and as an asset. So that we're trying to make things crisper than they really are.
And an assembled workforce can be both an input and a process. It's when they're performing a sort of a higher level kind of operation that the assembled workforce becomes the process, as would be the case in research and development for a research team.
somewhere we say when the set of assets acquired does not generate revenues, it should include the inputs that are intended to be converted into output. So again, difference between assets and inputs is a bit blurred. I think.
Any other comments?
I think, Philippe, case I on page 17 is getting at that. Mm-hmm. You know, whether they compare and contrast buying a corporate office building, one's a building versus one's a week, you know, with the, but I think you're exactly right. I think, you know, the fine line between what's an input slash asset versus a process might probably could be clearer. I suspect that it come through an exposure draft, assuming they put it out, but could be clear. Now, the distinction's only important when you have, when they're both in place, the distinction is important. So when you only have one of them in place, you fail the test. And that's for the reason I think a little bit crispiness too.
Yeah, because the proposal, in effect, puts more emphasis on the notion of inputs than before. So I think we have to be very clear what we mean by inputs.
Mary?
Like Philippe, I am supportive of the ISB moving ahead with the proposals in the document, although I think inevitably a bit more clarity about some of the words may be helpful. And I realize we aren't looking at the drafting of the specifics, but two things that struck me on page 5, the discussion of paragraph 1, in paragraph 16, something that you're characterizing as the predominant practice under IFRS, only significant or sophisticated processes give rise to a business. That seems to me like a principle, a statement that it would be very helpful to make and not to lose. And similarly, in proposal 2, we seem to be heading to a conclusion that the determination of whether something is a business should be independent of who the acquirer is, which is why the proposal is looking at saying it doesn't matter whether you, the acquirer, can replace or integrate it. It's what. So again, I think if that's the case, it would be helpful to step back and articulate we're making this change because we believe that the determination of whether it's a business or not should be independent of the acquirer. And then when I looked at the examples, I think I want us always to challenge ourselves whether we need every example that it would be possible to add. And actually looking at the one that Gary was just referring to, we have case H and case I, harder to say than it should be. I don't know that we need two separate examples as much as pulling in from I the fact that in the analysis of H, because it does not have X, you know, the management that pulls it all together, I think when we set out two facts, we're just making more and more examples. I would look to see whether we could collapse them into one. Then one other thing on the example is in the first, as I said, with the IPR&D, I was struggling similarly to distinguish assets from processes.
Case B.
Yes.
Case B.
Martin.
Only a short question. I can agree with all this proposal, but I don't know, would that solve all the practical problems which we have or which we have identified or in the past were brought to the interpretation committee with regard to make it easier and clearer to identify business or not? So have we tested that really with the practical problems which we have seen in the past?
We have already done a lot of work on the definition of a business in the past. The interpretation committee worked for more than 1 year, I think, on the definition of a business. And then this is one of the main concerns raised during the post-implementation review of the IFRS 3. And I think that the examples are the real issues that people is addressing in practice.
But Martin, are you almost suggesting that we take this paper back to the interpretation committee and ask them if they think...
Because my understanding was that the committee has dealt with a lot of kind of questions. Is that a business, yes or no? That was this real estate examples with some services, all this kind of issues which I think in the last years were came to the Integration Committee. And my question is only, if he makes these changes, would that have helped them or not? And if they have not helped them, maybe these are not the right proposals.
I think Leonardo thinks it is. Yes. It does. Yeah.
But no harm in doing a double check?
Yeah, we can double check, yes, sure.
We can.
Wait, go.
Proposal three, I'm not fully understand. Now, take, I tried to think about three examples, which the production of service mainly depend on single or series or identified or similar asset. One is laundry service center. Another one is copy machine center. Let's assume, you know, there's no other machine, but only copy machine can automatic stapling the papers together. A third one is, you know, Photoshop type of companies. And the only identified major assets are the, washing machine, the photocopy machine, and the photo printing machines. And based, let's assume FSB laundries want to take over ISB laundry, the whole nation, thousands, and all of them full of, you know, washing machines. They are identified, the similar. So based on this proposal, acquire asset, not business.
It's hard to respond to your example. And what this is saying, look, if most of what you pay for is contained within a single asset, or, you know, a group of the same assets, then the chances are it's going to be an asset purchase and not a business. And so it's saying in that case you would account for that as being just an asset purchase.
Yeah, your laundry service, you know, as a typical example, will not have so many goodwills, you know, simply a house, a flat, you know, or one, you know, levels of, you know, shops and full of washing machines.
Yes, I mean, what you've just described, you just described two important assets. One is the location and one is the washing machines. So immediately that would suggest to me that that would fail this sort of assessment.
I would have assumed from what I'd understood with proposal three that what you're looking at is you're looking at what the value of the assets is on a standalone basis, fair value of the assets. And
yep.
If the price is substantially the same as the fair value of the assets, you fail.
Yes.
But if the price is substantially higher than the fair value of the assets, it indicates what you just said, that there's something else that you buy.
Yep.
And it might be location, it might be something else.
Even not substantially high, you know, as I said, you know, laundry service will not have so much, you know, additional profitability because of the, you know.
Then you might fail.
So, but still, you acquire a business, you know, 1,000, you know, laundry service centers, the whole nation. But we said, you know, you acquire assets.
But I think in that case.
Pushing by, then they buy business because you buy customers and buy.
I mean, in that case.
No, as I said, if the, you know, the profitability, additional profitability, not so substantial, we say, based on this.
I think the point here is to use the economics to make the decision about whether there are the assets. So if you, in the example you're giving, if you pay effectively just to buy the assets, so the value of the assets you're buying and the value of the amount you're paying is equivalent, then there's probably not something else. If the amount you're paying is substantially higher than the value of the assets, that economically suggests there's something more. That's where I understood this.
But the problem of the customer base, I think, is an important one, because in the value of a business, very often you buy a certain price for the customer base, but it's not an asset you can recognize because you don't have contracts. You don't have enough customer relationship to recognize an asset absent any contracts or absent. It's borderline. You know, the customer base, where you can recognize an identifiable asset or not, or putting the goodwill, is not always that easy to determine. So, in fact, the test would ignore maybe the value of the customer base if it is not something you could recognize as an asset separately.
But I don't think it would ignore it. I think in both cases, both yours and Wei Guo's, the proposal three would give you a framework for making this analysis, so that for Wei Guo's laundry, it would say, okay, what is the value of the washing machines? Not all the assets acquired, but the washing machines. You know, that's the group of the big chunk of change in terms of similar assets. And if the value of the washing machines is, you know, virtually all of the purchase of the price that you're offering to pay, it means you aren't paying for anything more, whether or not it exists.
Okay.
But if, let's say, the value of the washing machines is only 70% of the purchase price, then you may be buying leases plus the head office that manages, et cetera. And Philippe, in your example, yes, there may or may not be a recognizable asset for customer, you know, and in accounting terms, but if you are paying for that, it will create a difference between the price of the washing machines and the total amount you've agreed to pay. It's kind of a more specific version of the if goodwill is, you know, is present that suggests it's a business.
Yeah. Okay. Can we support staff's recommendations? So no discussion paper.
13 in favor.
Okay. Then we're done.